First Corinthians 12:31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, if you look at verse 1 of that same chapter, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. The word ignorant there is to be in the dark. Has there been a gist around you before and then everyone is laughing about it and then you're just looking. And you're trying to get someone's attention. Tell me, what's it about? And say, are you new in Jerusalem? Don't you know these things? Amen. And that's what it means to be in the dark. Where it's agnoio in the Greek. To just be unaware. To not get the benefit of something. So it's not just passive ignorance in knowledge, as it were. It means to miss out. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you miss your moment. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ruin your chances. So Paul is talking to a church and he says, concerning the gifts of the Spirit that God gives, it's possible that a man ruins his chances. It's possible that a man misses his moments. It's possible a man ruins his moments, ruins his chances. And he now gives them the antidote. You know, sometimes in this kind of world where we are, people tell you what's going wrong. And there's no solution. No one gives a solution. So say, normally you should not. So what should I do? Then Paul says, so that you will not miss out on your chances. So that you will not miss out on your moments. Covet earnestly the best gift. If you remove every other verse in between them and just read them together. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Covet earnestly the best gift. So how do I not miss out on the best things God offer? I must covet earnestly the best gifts. That's what I'm trying to say. Covet earnestly the best gifts. That doesn't even sound like you're coveting anything at all. Say, covet earnestly the best gifts. Interesting. So, if I don't want to ruin my chances, Paul says, the solution is to covet. God placed in man, in man's desire, his own life. Your entire life is in your desires. Now, if you look away from even the spirituality of things, that's dangerous to look away, but for a moment. You look at your life right now. 80% of what you're doing now and where you are right now is a function of your desires in time past. The things you wanted. Personally, when I got to SS1, some few days back, when I entered SS1, it was last week. Amen. And I was quite good with mathematics and physics. Physics very, 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 very good. And chemistry. And so, everyone thought I was going to go for engineering. Engineering. Because it's a school of sciences, so you have to start making up your mind. But all of my guys were saying, medicine. You know, when I was younger, like 3 days ago, there are just like 5 careers. You know what I mean? It's not that you have content creator. There was absolutely none like content creator. Doctor. Banker. Banker is for those that have greed. Engineer. What type of engineer? We don't know. Engineer, sha. Lawyer. And what? Pilot. people were dreaming. Accountant. That's on that bank out. You don't know. Pilot. I heard a lot of pilots. They now have shop. Amen. You know, pilot as a kid. We are now a GIG pilot. Amen. You know, all the GIG and GU, they call their drivers pilots. If they have some kind of cars, I wonder what they call their drivers. Astronauts. But you look at it and somehow, I just desired to follow a particular line. And that desire has shaped my life. Whether you call it for good or for better or for worse, I will probably not be saying what I'm saying now, doing what I'm doing now, if probably I went for an engineering degree. I'm here today because I schooled in Lutz. If I went for civil engineering, I would not come to Lutz. That means I probably would not want to school in Unilag. Probably I would have gotten an admission somewhere else. I don't know what I'm saying. And somehow, I schooled in Lutz. It's easier to preach here, to do my follow-ups and everything. Can you get what I'm saying? And somehow, one single desire has shaped everything. And that's why I tell you often, be careful what you desire. Watch it. Watch your appetite. Watch your appetite. Because they can make and they can destroy. So Paul says, the remedy to not missing out on what God has is that I must covet earnestly. You're going to get there. God placed in man desire so that he can shape his own life. And as believers, we ought to know how to channel that desire. Now, there are things that God has done for you. Amen? He has given you all of the 9 gifts, right? This glorious house church, we know that, right? God has given and placed in you all the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Healing is yours, right? The gift of healing works through you. Prophecy works through you with ease. Miracles, signs and wonders, gift of faith, visions and revelations. They are all yours. See, God has given you that one to dispense. Bible says, he put his treasure in earthen vessels. So that the excellency of glory may be of him and not of us. He puts his treasure in earthen vessels. He has given you that one to dispense. But I want you to pay attention to something in Mark 16. There are some things that God has done for you in Mark 16. And because God has put those things for you, ensure you use them. Let me say this. You can't have an effective ministry of reaching out to souls without the miraculous. God placed them there. They are tools for ministry. You want to reach out to more souls? 2025 souls in 2025. Amen. You want to do that one? Then, that's a soul for the year. 2025 souls for 2025. That comes to my head. Then you have to engage the tools for ministry. You have to heal the sick. You have to prophesy. We must not do Christianity of it's good to sing. I love singing a lot. I love worshiping God with my voice. Even though I don't know how to sing. But that must not be all to your Christianity. So that once you are not singing, you have tuned out. Your Christianity is done with power. And you are a child of power. Christianity is done in power. And God's power is for you. God's power is for you. Works effectively. In you. In you. Through you. For you. And towards you. Amen. Mark 16. In verse 17. So, these are the things God has done for you. These signs shall follow those that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. So, these are things that every Christian has. If you are right here in this auditorium this morning, these things are yours. Whether you have experienced it or not before, these things are yours. Whether you've walked in them before or not, these things are yours. You know, when I was in boarding house, some days ago, I went to Federal Government College. So what they do in Federal Government College is that you pay for school uniform and textbooks all at once. Sorry, those of you that went to normal, abnormal schools. Amen. We went to the normal schools. How many of you went to Federal Government College? Any of the Federal Government Colleges? You pay for uniforms, right? Even though we entered at very different times. So I don't know whether you pay, from the beginning of the session, you pay for about 3 uniforms, then all your textbooks, then for food. So, you can see that. Everything will be paid for. Food. Even though the food, you might not, you might do deal. Amen. So there's something called deal. Very wabi. You don't deal many times. So deal is, I can meet you in the hostel and say, give me conflicts. And I'll give you my Wednesday jollof rice. Wednesday afternoon is jollof rice. Or Sunday afternoon. Thursday night is eko. Eko and moimo. And moimo eko and beans. I don't go for that one at all. And then, of course, the bargaining power you have with echo and beans is smaller than bargaining power you have with your rice and egg. Amen. Your echo and beans, they can just give you one hand of garri. Just there. So echo and beans. And the person can even use that beans that is collecting from you to go and trade somewhere else. I have one echo and beans. So, from a child, you've learned business. Amen. The art of dealing. But you paid for it, everything. So imagine a child. Your parents are giving him provision. In Nigeria, we call provision beverages and all of those things. So we call it provision. Amen. Because God has provided it. All you want to call it again? It's provision. God has met our needs. This is a provision. Who brought the idea of provision? Alright. So your parents has given you provision and all of that. So you might feel, but some people are eating there. I felt like that at first. My first day, because I resumed late, so I saw people walking with spoon in their hand, and they were going to the dining hall. And I was wondering, my dad did not give me money to pay for this food. How will I now eat? So what did I do? The bread, my mom used to sell bread. So the bread I had in my box, that they've collected half already at the entrance of the hostel, seniors. So I took the bread, I made tea, which I've been dying to do all my life. Without guilt. You know, at home, if you want to make tea, it's with permission. Sorry, I know some of you grew up with silver spoon. In my house, you make tea with permission. Can I? And you'll be told how many spoons. You exceed it till next year. So, but this time around, I made first batch of tea. I made second batch. Me at the time. It's all mine. So, I made the first, I said, if they are eating, me too, I have food to eat. So, one boy came, we eventually became friends. So he now told me, he said, why didn't you come to the dining hall? I said, I don't have enough money, that the money I have now is for later, that I will use it later in the term. He didn't get what I was saying. He was looking at me like a madman. He said, I don't understand. You don't have money to do what? To buy the food that all of you are buying now. You don't have to buy it. I said, just give me food for free. Said, no, it's for all the students. So, whether I choose to eat it or not, it's for me. And Jesus is telling you, these things are for you. Mark 16, 17. These signs follow all that believe. How many of us have believed in His name? Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in Jesus, the Father in the flesh. We'll sing it again. I believe. It's not the music team, but.
I believe
in the Word of God.
I believe. In Jesus,
the Father in the flesh. Sing it again like a minute. Let the darkness hear it. I believe. The devil, you can't do anything about this one. In Jesus, I believe. In the Word of God.
In the Word of God.
I believe. In Jesus, the Father in the flesh, the Father in the flesh. Amen. So, you believe? Anyone? Anyone who believes? Alright, read your inheritance now. Jesus says, these signs shall follow all that believe. In verse 17, in my name they will cast out devils. Say, I can cast out devils. You know, some people just believe, hey devil, demon, let the sleeping dog lie. I remember my brother told me one time, say. So I just finished preaching, also Sammy Badon. I just finished teaching them. And I said, we are going to go out and we're going to cast out demons. Today we're not even preaching anything. We are not even healing the sick. It's demons we are looking for. He said, demon. Don't let us look for them. That's like looking for trouble. Say, let the sleeping dog lie. Say, demons. Demons are powerful. Like, he was educating me about demons like I've been to hell. Amen. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Is demon they went to look for? This is like the way you're talking to us now. That's what they went, that's the way they talk to them too. They say, go and look for demon, go and look for demon. Now they start running around. I told him, I said, the devil is not a sleeping dog. In fact, the way Peter describes, he says a roaring lion. If you don't come for him, he'll come for you. Judas did not go near the devil. The devil came near him. Peter did not go near the devil. Yet Jesus told Peter, the devil desires to sit down. He covets earnestly. The devil covets earnestly to sift you as wheat. And so, it's not about letting sleeping dog lie. You can cast out demons. You know, there are some demons now that you see it in dance. Someone dance online. You guys was rolling your eyes. You see the video? Rolling your eyes. It says TikTok dance. It's not TikTok dance, so. Spirit is going to lele yo. On yellow, on loan. I know you're waiting devil talk. You see Dini. This one not even here waiting Jesus talk to. No, it's not only that you're not hearing Jesus too. Because the way he was going, I said, demon, eh? I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. I can cast the demons. So he says they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. You can do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. So they will take up serpents. I've taught you that before. It's not literal snakes. He's talking about serpents is the works of the devil. We taught that in our teaching, shake of the beast. In teaching we have shake of the beast. We talk about taking up serpents. No. Don't be like that pastor that went to look for venomous snake. Said they should be passing it around. So he just said we take up serpents. Abba. God put in man the wisdom to call some things wild animal. Amen. God is one in his wisdom. Did I call it wild animal? Wild. Dog is part of them. But if you will not agree, what if you are not part of, why do they chase people? Amen. Dog chase people, they bite people. They are part of the serpents. Hallelujah. If they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick. That's us. That's us. In the name of Jesus. We lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. In the name of Jesus. So there are things that God has done for us. These things work in, through, for us. But there are also things that God will not do for you unless you desire them. For example, you will not grow spiritually in Christ by default. You say, imagine how I do that. You ask someone, how did you start teaching God's word? How did you start preaching the gospel? Then the person tells you, I just woke up one day and I discovered that I was talking like pastor. I was saying, Matthew 28:18. Will you not say it's a lie? Because spiritual maturity and the ability to communicate God's word does not jump on people. It's desired and it's worked towards. Is it making sense? So there are things that God will do for you, he has done for you, and there are things that you have to do for yourself. And so Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. I'm not ignorant. I covet the best gifts. Now, so that's 1 Corinthians 31 now. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Two words, two strong words together, because the word covet means to desire strongly. The word covet means to desire strongly. Almost greed. It's almost like this, close to greed. Almost a sense of greed in it. Almost a want it all attitude. And Paul says to get the best, you have to want it all. And many times, ignorance convinces us that God is going to do what he will do. I don't need to desire anything. I don't need to have anything in mind. If God wants to bless me, he will bless me. No. No. Doesn't happen like that. If God wants to do something, nothing can stop him. No, you can't stop him. Man can stop God. God would have Israel out of Egypt for years. God would have them through a shorter route. God told Moses, he said, I did not take them through a shorter route. Because I know that when they go through it, they will see war and they will back off. They will not have enough grit, enough desire in them to go to Canaan. God said, God told Moses, said, when they see war and they see the cities, they will go back to Egypt. So what did God do? He said, I will take them through the sea. I will take them where there is no way. They will go through the sea. They will go through the wilderness. That one is better. Almost as though God is not omniscient. As though he doesn't know everything. They still wanted to go back to Egypt. Even from that longer route. Some people, you cannot help them. God said, if I take them through the shorter route, they want to go back to Egypt. Even the longer route. Israel said, we will choose a leader to the class captain. Who will take us back to Egypt. It's Moses. It's no human being. And God must have been looking and said, I didn't ever say this. I miss your manna. I miss all the miracles. You still want to go back to Egypt. He said, this is a golden calf. He's the one that brought us out of Egypt. Idolatry is not in your heart. Amen. Idolatry is almost the stupidest thing. The dumbest thing. You build a golden calf and he said, this golden calf that we just built now took us out of Egypt yesterday. Is that not dumb? We just built it now. It's my earring. I can see my earring at one corner. I said, this one was what brought us out of Egypt last month. There are no idols in my heart. Well, God would have had them get to Canaan fast. Without Jericho, without the sea, without the wilderness. But because there was no desire, man pulled back the hand of God. We have seen how desire can give direction to God's power. The woman who had the issue of blood, for example, Jesus was not going to her. Jesus was not going to her to heal her. No. Jesus was going to Jairus' house. Are you with me this morning? Jesus was going to Jairus' house. He wasn't going to her. The woman by herself changed the direction of God's power. Oh, I'm smart. She used her words. She used her faith and her desire to turn God's power from Jairus' house and almost come the other way. Jonah went to Nineveh. You know, there are some times that you are just happy to tell people bad news. You know, they will perish. When I was in secondary school, I used to die a lot. I used to preach every break time. And at the point, I even started collecting offering. Don't mind me. The offering is to buy farm milk chocolate for the man of God. So, forget the offering part. But I used to preach. So, well, there are these, you know, in every secondary school, there's a group of big boys, big girls. I've been watching them. I've been practicing how I'm going to doom them by the word. One of them eventually became very good friends. He's a pastor now in Redeem. Amen. But he used to be they call him Beauty. Beauty, you know, they show someone Beauty. That means you're not drinking beer alone now. You are a source. So I went to them one break time. I said, you, they call you Beauty. You and the devil will drink. The way you were born. I said, this little finger, we born for 2,000 years. Who told me? I said, this one, you can see it's longer. 3,500 years. The guy said, the years will not finish. I said, it's eternity. When they born again, God will make them grow. You will born again. I said, that the message of Christ, Abraham was the son of a pastor. The message of Christ is not condemnation. So you know, that condemnation will come upon you. And I was cursing him. Serious curse, so under one tree like that. That tree used to be beside the chapel. But that day, you should know the place. Beside the chapel, just adjacent the field. She went to my school. I was laying curses. Literally. Later I knew that it was cursed. Then I was preaching. I was putting different curses. That everything that happened to Judas will happen to you. If you don't leave these girls alone. I just had something with protecting ladies. If you don't leave these guys alone. Every time. So they waylaid me. They beat me up. Amen. I could not help myself. If it was one person, I would have. Pastor would have. Yeah? The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. But they were plenty. They even rented some boys, high school boys. So I was away. But there are times like that you are just waiting for that sinner. You want to come upon his soul. Jonah went to Nineveh. He said, I am happy to announce to you, God will destroy you. And they were like, God will not destroy you. What I smell is suya. Nineveh, I smell suya. Cattle, human being, everybody, gone. Then the king said, God Almighty, we want to repent. Jonah said, repent, king. If it does not happen, I'm not a man of God. If I be a man of God, in Nineveh, Suya. And they all repented, sackcloth. Jonah chapter 3 and chapter 4. Sackcloth, they started crying, ashes. And God said to Jonah, go and tell them they are saved. Imagine God telling him to go and tell Beauty that nothing will happen to you. Something must happen, God. I've said something will happen. Let it happen. After it happens, you can save him. Jonah said, this is what I've been saying about God. This is what I've been saying. God, you are not consistent. They say you are steadfast. They say you don't change. You don't change now. You say they would be destroyed. I don't tell them to be sure that if I be a man of God. But what happened to Nineveh? Their desire changed God's heart. Ezekiah was a king. Isaiah is arguably one of the greatest prophets in the whole Testament. I don't want to rank anybody, but Isaiah is up there, top three. Amen. No need to rank, but Isaiah is top three. Amen. And Isaiah, the son of Amos, went to Ezekiah. You find the story in Isaiah 38. Open your Bible to Isaiah 38. Learning something? We're talking about covet earnestly the best gifts. So man's desire can influence what God will do. Stop saying, hey, if God wants to do it, God will do it. Let me say, question, answer, what God did, what? What's that nonsense? Question, answer, what will be, will be. What will be, will be. Why did you go to school? Why did they said I will be a doctor. I'll just sit down at home. Everybody call me doc. On my naming ceremony, they said, this child will be a pastor and a doctor. So I'll just sit down at home. And they say, are you not going to primary school? Say, primary school, okay. I'm a doctor. How about secondary school? They're writing common entrance. They said I will be a doctor. Will the person be a doctor? Eh? Maybe a doctor of something else. I go. Amen. Because what will be will not be. What will be, normally human beings you eat, right? That's what should be. But you've got to buy food. You've got to cook it. Because what will be will not be. Is what I desire that will be. Psalm 37 verse 4. God said, I will answer your desires. And all your heart desires will be fulfilled. That's what he said. Amen. Isaiah 38 verse 1. In those days, Ezekiah was sick unto death. Sick unto death means this sickness is going to lead to death. It's not that he's very sick. Confirm. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Again, Isaiah is saying this so that you know the weight of the person talking to Ezekiah. Said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Set your house in order, for you shall die. And Ezekiah turned his face towards the wall. He must learn to do this one. He turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember me now, O Lord, I beg you, how I have walked with you in truth, with a perfect heart, and I have done what is good in your sight. And Ezekiah wept so. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, just like Jonah, saying, go and tell Ezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David your father, I have heard your prayers, and I have seen your tears. I will add 15 years. God can change his mind. Man can make God change his mind. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Isaiah already said, set your house in order, you die. That's what God said. And God said, this guy has prayed. His desire is to live. Why should he not? His desire is to live. Why should he not live? So, covet earnestly the best gifts. As you prepare for a retreat, or any Christian meeting at all, anyone, always go with a desire. Bible study, self-meeting, study group, okay, there's no study group, prayer group, any meeting, anywhere believers are gathered, always go with a desire. God, today, I need a healing. Today, I need an increase in grace. There's something called grace. I've told you that all of us have one thing, right? There's something all of us have. Right? We all can cast out devils, can speak with tongues, can lay hands on the sick. We've all got that. But there's grace. Say grace.
Grace.
It's just grace. Have you met some people, probably in your school, when you were in secondary school, they don't read. I'm not using that to explain grace, so I'll just give you an example. I had a guy in my own set, I've told you his name before, because he pays me, till now, Dada Taiwo. He's a medical doctor now, University of Ilorin. He worked in UCH, but I think he's in Ilorin now. He started me up, I said, you showed us Pepe. That's years gone, that's over 15 years now. And I'm still remembering, because I am reading, I'm studying after school, and this brother is playing football. All legs dirty. And we'll write a further mathematics test the next day. He will get 30 over 30. And we that we have been reading, we get 10. The people that are not reading, they get minus. Our teacher used to give minus. You see minus 3 over 30. There was one I got 1 over 15. And I was the fourth highest. I was the fourth highest in my class. SS1F. Since they put us in F, we should even know where we are. I was the fourth highest, 1 over 15. That I was in SS1G. So I ran. I ran to his class. I just want to know what he got. Maybe I'll feel better. He got 9 over 15. And he was crying. Ah. My guy got minus 14. They are laughing at him. The guy that got minus 14 is a lecturer of mathematics now in London. He's a lecturer of mathematics. The same for the mathematics that he got minus 14 over 15. That's how life works, yeah? He's a lecturer of mathematics. When I look at my guy, I just started laughing. So my dad saw my results. I said, 1 over 15. Kilo check. I said, eh? Ah, no, I don't say that. In my class, 3 is the highest. Two people had 3. One person had 2. I had 1. Ah. Some people had 0. Fine. They are even happy. The people that had 0 are happy. The teacher gives minus if you are lying. If you don't know, you just leave it blank. You get 0 over 15. So some people play it safe. They didn't write anything. If you go and write nonsense. There are some nonsense you can tolerate. There are some you just say, you know to woman, why are you lying? So they will deduct minus something, they will deduct it though. They will deduct later, but let's leave that one. Convert energy. So, I just perceive that the guy had grace. That's why I called it there. It's just brilliant. There's something like that spiritually. Paul says, I labored more than all the apostles together. But it's not really about me. See, when you look at what I have done for the Lord, it's probably more than what everybody has done put together. The discipleship they will do in 3 months. Paul says, I've done it in 2 days, and the person is stable. He says, the way my disciples are hungry, he says, it's not me. Oh. The healing that some people take hours to preach and cast out devils. Paul says, I just put a phone call through. And I said, give the phone to the sick. And the person is jumping. Paul says, yet not I. It is the grace of God. You can test and convert that grace. So there's grace for ministry. There's grace for evangelism. So you must have a desire. Pray for me as I close. You can desire giftings. Grace can increase. Oh. You can desire clarity. God, as I'm going for this meeting, I want things to be clear. Everything that looks like darkness, everything that looks so confusing in me, everything that looks like I'm not getting it enough, I want clarity. As you're going for the meeting, I want direction. There must be something. There must be something you want God to do. Never go for meetings blank. Never go for meetings to mark attendance. Where God's Spirit is, there's the liberty to see. There's the liberty to demand. There's the liberty to behold. There's the liberty to dream. So what's your desire? I want a better fellowship with you, Lord. I want healing for my body. I want healing for someone else. I'm desiring salvation somewhere. I want deliverance from something. I want deliverance. You know, there's just something to be desired. I want my dad to be saved. You must have a desire. I want my uncle to be saved. You must have a desire. Don't box God. Don't say, it's only ministry desire that I want to go. Hey! Provision. Why are you living from hand to mouth? God, provide something. It could be an idea. Provide. An idea that could help me out. A work, a job. Favor. But I need something. Covet earnestly the best gift. It's as though if we don't ask, God will not give it. That's the way you must pray. You must pray as though God is just waiting to hear your voice and then He gives it. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Let that be your mantra as we prepare for our meetings. There are going to be days full of glory. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are going to be days full of glory. They'll be full of strength. Oh. They'll be full of the Spirit of God. We have an atmosphere of the miraculous. An atmosphere of growth. An atmosphere of visions and revelations. An atmosphere of spiritual strengthening. An atmosphere of the walking of angels. Oh my God. We must have desires. Brothers. Brothers. He is the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. And there is nothing impossible for Him to do. He is the Almighty God. Put those desires down. Put it down. Write them down. If possible, go and fetch for new desires. Go and fetch for more. And you pray along. You believe along in the meetings. Some will be answered in session 1. Some will be answered in session 2. Some will be answered in session 3. But God is working something out. You know what He said? In Matthew chapter 7 verse 7. He said, ask. And you will receive. I love the way God is absolute. He said, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, the door will be open unto you. Have you got things to ask? That's your faith. If you got things to ask, then we ask. Oh Lord God of encounters. Oh Lord God of experiences. Oh Lord God, God of moments. God of moments and seasons. I am here. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I will never be the same again. Let your glory surround me. Let your glory surround me. I want experiences, experiences, experiences. And I will not miss my moments. I will not miss my moments. I will not ruin my chances. I will not ruin my chances. Everything that I have got in my list of expectations, I believe and I receive. I believe and I receive. I walk with you with more ease. I walk with you with more ease. I do ministry with ease. I heal the sick with ease. I raise the dead with ease. In the natural, I walk with ease. In my academics, with ease. In my work, with ease. In my career, with ease. My health is preserved. You got things to ask? Now go ahead and build up for your desires. Retreat 2024. Lord God of moments. I won't come back home the same way. Peter met with Jesus and everything changed. all you pray better. Lord, I trust you. For this is my meeting. It is that meeting that changes everything. In those days, I want moments that turn everything around. Spiritual apathy is taken away. Spiritual laziness gone. Strange appetites, strange desires. In every way I have struggled for good, I will not struggle again. Why are you finding discipleship very difficult? Jesus can change everything. And come back. And I fall face down as your glory shines around. And I fall. Your glory shines around. And I fall face down. As your glory shines. Fibroid is gone. PCOS. Away. Repeated consistent migraine. Out! It is my season to experience the God kind of work, the God kind of activities, God kind of moments. This is my meeting, and I fall face down as your glory shines around. And I fall face down. We shall surround. He is Lord. He is Lord. Son of God has come to dwell. King of kings and Lord of lords. Emmanuel. I thought you pray better. He is Lord. He is Lord. Hope for all. Go and tell. He has come to save the world. I will come back with a testimony. And I fall face down. As your glory shines around. I'll come back with your testimony. Mountains of years past, they will become valleys. Mountains of years past, they will become valleys. Amen. That's the break. It's a few minutes more. There's something, I told you on Wednesday, there's something Jesus does to people. So now you cannot wrap your head around it. But there's something an encounter with Jesus really changed. It just changes everything. And I give you an example of Peter. The one who could not stand for Jesus in front of a little girl. Now called everybody together. He said, listen to me, men and brethren. Paul was the one killing Christians. Just one encounter. Is the Almighty God. One is enough. One upon your soul can burst everywhere. Just one burst of glory. Just one burst of glory. Just one burst of glory. Paul, one. One. On the road to Mount Damascus, one. And he turned to the one winning souls for that same Jesus. Now, so pray. God told me, he said, did you observe Moses? Moses ran away from the palace. Because if they know that he's supporting Israel, he'll be killed. So he ran away. And God said, did you observe that he kept going there every day when he came back? The same palace he ran away from because they are going to kill him. He was going there every day and said, let my people go. Then the next day he'll come again. What changed? A burning bush? Something changed. There is something Jesus does to people. Some will go an entire life and they will not experience it. Some have come to the earth. They've gone and they didn't know what it feels like. There's something Jesus does to people that just changes everything. You think you don't have passion? Let him touch you. He says, that's where I am. I'm just busy. There's a lot of things. Let him undo you. You are not doing half of what Paul was doing. At least you're not killing Christians. An encounter. Oh Lord God, can I have a moment? Can I have a moment? Can I have a moment? A moment, a moment, a moment with the God kind. A moment with the miraculous. A moment with the miraculous. A moment with the divine Lord. Moses was going back there. The same palace he ran away for 80 years. He was going back there. Every day. Where has the fear gone? Where did the fear go? Where did the guilt of killing an Egyptian go? The same Moses looked at the Pharaoh eye to eye. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I am sent me. Something has changed. Something has changed, definitely. The man is no longer the man. If you stick to the word, you come back with a testimony. If you stay with the Lord, if you desire encounters, you come back with a testimony. Oh Lord, we are not asking for much. This is just the list. I'm not asking for much. I have the list. I can show you, Lord. Meet me at the point of my needs. I don't want to struggle again. With anything. I don't want to have health that collapses and just go. I don't want to have on and off days with the Lord. I don't want to bargain with the devil. I want your peace to flood my heart. And your grace to flood my ministry. Lord, I'm not asking for much. Me, I'm saying my own. See you. Pray. Play for me. And I fall. This young. So glory shines around. And I fall. This young. Lórí òkè bàrígà olúwa ṣèyanu tọ́lọ́ máa dá ìkó lọ sí òní padà àwa ó dàbí àwọn tí ó ń lálà kàpọ́ ṣe kiri bùtẹ̀ ẹ̀kọ́ ní àbá kiri náà ṣàbẹ̀ kàkà kúrí kiri rú ní eré bó ṣàkàkà báyé. When the Lord shall return the captives into your Zion, we will be like them that dream. God's intervention looks like a dream. Intervene, Lord. Step in. Face down. As your glory shines. There is nothing impossible for you. You said in your word, I am the Lord God Almighty. Is there anything impossible for me? I've come with requests. As your glory shines around, and I your glory shine. 3 minutes more. Oh yeah, yeah. The moments are started from now. And we have a blissful year ahead, full of the miraculous, full of signs and wonders, diverse kinds of miracles. Oh God of light. And I fall face down as your glory shines around. And I fall face down. I had experiences that I will never forget. I will have experience I will never forget. What people see when they see me, Jesus, I begin to see it. What people hear when they hear you, Jesus. What how people feel when they meet with you. Holy Ghost fire. The fire that changes everything, that renews everything, that refreshes everything. Strength like never before. Peace like never before. Grace like never before. For a year like never before.
testimonies. My daddy, I will testify of God's grace. I will testify of God's glory. I will testify of God's goodness. This is my meeting. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will distract me. Nothing will get in my way. Lights, like Paul saw, lights from heaven. Lights from heaven. In every session.
As your glory shines, my God, as your glory,
deliverance, freedom. I never thought I would be able to do for you, Lord. I begin to do them. The ways I never thought I would be able to walk for you. Distances I never thought I would be able to go. Impossible becomes nothing. In the presence of your glory, impossible becomes nothing.
Oh, Gather there. It's going to be a glory camp. Oh God. We'll camp under your glory. Yeah. Every session. On the field, in the halls, in the hostels. An atmosphere of glory. An atmosphere of glory. Oh Lord God. Oh Lord God of encounters. Can we begin to count? Can we begin to count how many people you have encountered, Lord? And how you change your lives for the better. Lord, God, will come. There is nothing impossible. Oh, Holy Ghost, light within my soul. Oh, Holy Ghost, fire in my bones. Oh, power in my life, Holy Lord, you and I will change the world. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, light within my soul. Holy Ghost, fire in my bones. You and I will change the world. Sing it like a minute. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You and I will change the world. All of Nigeria. All of Africa. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. And I push the one. And I pick on that. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You're looking at it. You read it yourself. Everything becomes possible. Everything on this list. Lord, I believe and I receive. I believe and I receive. Impossible becomes possible. ready now? Are you ready now? Yeah. You will not be left behind. Because whether or not, that cloud of glory will move. It will move. Yeah? No, I'm not prophesying you. I'm not saying it. The issue is, will you follow it? You have to move with the cloud. But you move. We gathered, yeah? All ourselves. Ibadan church, everybody will be here. We'll be not here. We'll be there at the camp. And that cloud of glory will begin to move. This year we're going to do some things that we have not done before. Because it's a different retreat. Just need to say that. Different retreat. The schedule is not like before. The meetings are not going to be like before. And I'm trusting God for the way He is scheduling everything. We just move with the clouds. One thing you must never do on that mountain, never get distracted. Those kind of meetings, see, you will go, you will come back, you discover the world has not changed, don't worry. Everybody that misses you, let them miss you for those days. It's not up to a week, you will be back. That's what I tell people. Once I go to that mountain, I'm praying for my entire year. Lead me, I will come back to you. Whether you're family or whether you're a colleague at work or anything, I will come back. There are things to take care of. There are things only God can do for you. That's what I've gone to seek. These are the generation that seek you, that seek your face, God of Jacob. We will never rely on our own strength. We will never get to a point where we are wise enough. We will always rely on Him. Part of relying on Him is to go and seek His face. Is that clear? In the silent moments, in the loud times, in the cold of the night, in the hotness of the noon, we will be there. We will be there. And one thing is certain, we will come back with a testimony. Huh? We will come back with a testimony. And say, see what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. There's no better way to enjoy the festive season than to be at retreat. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we lift our hands and bless His name? In a joyful anticipation of what God has for us. I know I'll never be the same again. He said, when the Lord shall return the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. We are like them that dream. Is that precious? Is that precious? We are like them that dream. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Both the scaffold is close. That's a step on. Stay at our.